Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. In the wake of two fatal holdups at pharmacies on Long Island, public officials are taking a closer look both at pharmacy safety and at the fresh bait which lies just behind the counter at pharmacies across the country. In fact, Senator Chuck Schumer has called for more safety precautions for pharmacies and is also calling for limits on a so-called new super drug with high levels of hydrocodone, higher levels than what's available in painkillers now. So we're going to open up our phone lines for just a few minutes for pharmacists in our listening area to hear how you've been responding to the calls for more protection in your line of work. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Pharmacists, do you feel like you are more of a target today than you were in the past because there are more criminals out there wanting to take the medications behind the counter? A call in for pharmacists, if any happen to be listening right now, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And joining me now to talk about the issue of pharmacy safety and stronger painkillers is Craig Burridge, Executive Director of the Pharmacists Society of the State of New York. Welcome to WNYC. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And I gather later this morning, officials in Suffolk County will announce a new program to safeguard pharmacies after two people were killed in a shooting on New Year's Eve at a pharmacy in Seaford, and four were killed over the summer at one in Medford. 11,000 hydrocodone pills were stolen in that robbery. Those are two local cases. Can you give us a sense of how widespread this this problem is in our area and across the country?
Well, if we look at New York, for example, armed robberies have increased from four in 2006 to 30 in 2010, and obviously even going up more in 2011. If we look at all robberies across the United States, counting armed and unarmed robberies, it was 688 armed robberies, 79% increase from 06 to 2010. But the main thing is just robberies. We have break-ins, for example, when the pharmacy is closed. Those numbers nearly doubled from 2010 to 2011. In 2010, it was just under 2,700 nationwide. And by June of 2011, it was over 2,600. So we have some, our pharmacists, a number of them are terrified to go to work. A lot of them have placed signs in the windows that they no longer carry pain medications. Some have resorted to getting behind plexiglass, which is not what they really want to do.
More drugs on the market? Are they more powerful? Is it the economy? Why is this increasing as a problem?
Well, there's a number of reasons. We see addictions to pain medications increasing significantly, and that's overprescribing. For long periods of time, it's a drug that you can become addicted to fairly quickly. And, in talking with our pharmacists, they say that the person who becomes addicted for whatever reason, it could have been a long-term injury that caused that. It could have been just people doing it recreationally. But the fact is that as these people cannot find sources, physicians to write for them or whatever, they turn desperate and they turn to pharmacies and they know that's a source. And we have seen an escalation of violence.
Here is a pharmacist calling in from the Bronx. Richard, thank you so much for calling. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Yes, it is more of a problem for the people that I know that are working in retail pharmacy especially, and I feel really sorry for them. And I work in a more of a hospital setting when we do have security, and so that's a little bit more of a secure environment. I did, during my youth, I did get robbed twice, and that wasn't a pleasurable experience, and also for drugs and money, and it seems to be coming back again. And it's really, depressing, and it's hard enough just to do your job, and then you have to worry about your life, so that's a problem.
Indeed. Do you have an opinion about this new stronger painkiller that the FDA may or may not approve, Senator Schumer calling for them not to approve it, specifically for the reason of pharmacist safety, Richard?
Well, you know, that's it's a catch-22 because, you know, patients who do need pain medicine need their pain medicine. The problem is there's drug-seeking behavior and people who are addicted to it. And so, you know, while I want patients who actually need have the pain to get the appropriate medication, I'm also concerned that these are going to be even more highly addictive and even more sort out of. It's not an easy answer in this field.
Thank you very much for calling, Richard. Good luck out there. And here is Senator Schumer last week discussing this so-called super drug.
Believe it or not, an entire new class of so-called super drugs that are reportedly 10 times as powerful and dangerous as Vicodin are now seeking FDA approval for introduction in the marketplace. If they are approved, it would be the first time that pure hydrocodone, the second most abused narcotic in the country, has been introduced to the market. Introducing such a powerful, potentially harmful painkiller onto the market at a time of sky-high prescription drug abuse and theft would be like throwing fuel on the fire of this epidemic.
Senator Schumer last week. But Craig Burge, executive director of the Pharmacists Society of New York, I don't know, when I hear this language, super drugs, to talk about an effective new painkiller. They used to call kids who commit crimes super predators. Is this just hyperbole, or should we really be afraid of super drugs?
Well, again, I'm not a pharmacist, so I can't answer that, and I have not seen. I've heard of this particular new super strength of this drug, and certainly, again, we're seeing the current strengths in the market causing addiction. And, you know, the idea of coming out with a medication, and I can see where the senator's coming from, coming out with a medication that's 10 times as strong, is that going to cause someone who may need something lesser to become addicted to a drug when, in fact, you know, they're just trying to get through, you know, recoupment from, say, for example, a hip transplant or a knee transplant, surgery, and don't need something that strong. We haven't seen any information as to where and why this particular medication would be used, and I'm sure that's going to be forthcoming.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think Richard, our pharmacist caller, laid out the duality of this very well. On the one hand, pharmacists have reason to fear. On the other hand, if there's a more effective painkiller, it should be getting out to patients. There are a lot of people living with pain out there. And in general, there are many more people living with pain than need to be, either because they're not prescribed adequate painkillers or for whatever reason. But are you, and 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Are you familiar with the loophole which makes hydrocodone more accessible? The Associated Press reported that the 1970 Controlled Substances Act, and it goes all the way back to then, allows combination pills of hydrocodone and another drug like acetaminophen to be prescribed more easily. This means that those combination drugs, like Vicodin, can be refilled up to five times. Percocet, on the other hand, can only be refilled once. Is that a big problem in your opinion?
Well, you know, that's an issue that we've also discussed in our task force. The issue of maybe it's right now it's a three. It's not a class two drug. It's a class three, so therefore it can have the refills. And again, you're looking, you know, you're looking at patients who may have some type of long-term recoupment period of time, again, after say hip surgery or whatever, and they're going through rehab, and they may need to be, you know, you can't keep coming back every 30 days, because on a schedule two, an OxyContin type, it's 30 days only, one no refills. So it's really a matter of convenience to the patient and obviously the providers who may be providing this particular drug to them. So, yeah, that it's a loophole, but it also, again, you know, that's they found that loophole, and you can get refills.
Howard in Manhattan. Howard, you're a pharmacist too, right? Thanks for calling.
First of all, hydrocodone is a stronger than codeine, but not as strong as oxycodone, which is the Percodan or Percocets that people know of. OxyContin is oxycodone, and it gives people, I guess, a high similar to morphine. But and also, they sell them on the street for so much money per milligram, and it comes in the highest strength that I know of 30 milligrams. They have they have printouts at pharmacies, let's say all along Broadway, and they'll stop in every store to shop to be able to get it with their prescriptions. And there are doctors that prescribe only that for cash.
So they'll make copies of their prescription. Well, you can't really hand in it. For something like that, you can't give a photocopied prescription, right? Give an original.
I didn't say photocopied prescription. They have computer printouts of all the pharmacies, let's say on Broadway or Second Avenue, and they go from store to store because they're getting about, I think from what I've been told, it's about $5 or $10 a milligram. And when you take 30 milligrams in each tablet, you got a lot of money.
I'm sorry, but I don't understand. You're saying these illegal dealers sell to the pharmacies?
No, they sell to the people in the street.
Right, but how are they getting the pills from one pharmacy after another on Broadway?
Well, I'm not talking just Broadway. They go shopping from store to store until they find somebody that'll fill that prescription.
I see.
They'll tell them it's some inordinate amount of money, and they got it.
Right. Okay, Howard, thank you very much.
So the prescriptions can be, this is Craig, the prescriptions can be either written by prescribers who are getting paid to write those prescriptions, and that's a very small amount, but unfortunately that's where a lot of them are coming from, or they could have been stolen pads.
I see. You told us off the air there are new systems being considered, like software to keep track of prescriptions and those people who may be abusing their medication. How effective might that be?
Well, I think the issue, what we're looking for that we don't get now is that pharmacies don't have access to the Bureau of Narcotic Enforcement's website, which prescribers do, in which they can check on a patient to see if, in fact, they're doctor shopping and polypharmacy. What we're looking for is, you know, our pharmacies send this data once a month, once a week. A lot of them send it once a week to the Bureau of Narcotic Enforcement. Every time you get a controlled substance filled in New York, that information goes to the Department of Health on a secure line to them. And then they're looking for patterns of particular doctors writing too much or patients seeing multiple doctors in the last 60 days for the same medication, for the same pain medication. And then the doctors that they're seeing are notified. And then what we're looking at is to bring that to a point where it becomes like a drug utilization review like we have with Medicaid, where you send in a prescription. If they already got it filled somewhere else, the pharmacist is told this is a duplicate therapy. Well, we'd like to see that access is that as the we can send that daily, that information as it's filled, and then we'd like to see something back to the pharmacy saying that this is this has been filled. It was filled. We don't need a lot of information. It's just this patient, it was filled at another pharmacy on this date and time.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way the pharmacist has a red flag that this person may be, doctor shopping and abusing the drug.
And we have to leave it there. But
yep.
A little more information, folks, about the problem of crime at pharmacies in pursuit largely of hydrocodone and the controversy over approving a stronger version of that medication. Craig Burge, Executive Director of the Pharmacists Society of the State of New York, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Well, we've talked about Mitt Romney and politics and prescriptions and health care so far. In a way, we're going to combine the two coming up because we have an architect of Mitt Romney's health care plan in Massachusetts. He has written, of all things, a graphic book that is a comic form book called Healthcare Reform, what it is, why it's necessary, how it works, and this person will put on his superhero hat and try to explain whether so-called Romney Care is really the same thing as so-called Obamacare. Stay with us.